I come to you today in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray to God that we may be free of God. It's kind of a weird thing to say as a preacher on a pulpit. But these words are true words, and they come from someone that has been a really interesting person to study and learn from 1,000 years later or so. Those words come from a person named Meister Eckhart, who was a German monk. He was a theologian and a mystic who lived in the late 13th and early 14th centuries. He prayed that God would rid him of God. It's an interesting way to pray as a theologian and a mystic, right? But I think maybe that should be our prayer on this day, on this Trinity Sunday, one of these holy major feasts that we have in our church. Maybe that's our best bet on this day when we celebrate the mystery of three persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And happy Father's Day to God and all the fathers out there. But the mystery of three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all one in one God. Maybe on Trinity Sunday, we need to be free of the Trinity. So today, on Trinity Sunday, as I'm expected to do, I'm not going to do what you think I should do. I'm not going to talk about the three and the one today. I'm not going to talk about the one God and three distinct persons, about the essence of God, about unity, multiplicity, co-eternity, ousia, hypostasis, perichoresis, or all the other stuff that goes along with Trinitarian theology. Today, I want us to be free of God. I'm not suggesting that there is no God and that there is nothing to God. And I can't speak for him because I never knew him, but I don't think that Eckhart is talking about that either when he says, "Let us pray to God that we may be free from God." The God that Eckhart wants to be free of is the God that we try to understand, that we try to fit within the boxes that we create. The God that we try and contain in our concepts, our images, our doctrines, and our explanations. At best, those things, which are good, it's important for us to think about those things and wrestle and struggle with those things. But at best, they are pointers, they are signposts and guides along the way that we are supposed to help, that are supposed to help us experience God beyond the God of our own constructing within our own minds. At worst, though, those things become dead ends. They become limitations and confusing irrelevancies. Now, Meister Eckhart wrote, "Getting rid of that God does not spell the simple end of God, but the beginning, the genuine entry or breakthrough into the depths of God. It allows God to be more than we can explain or understand. It gives God a place in the world and in our lives instead of just out there somewhere. God is with us. It opens us to something beyond the horizon of our expectations, beyond what we can imagine, what we can foresee, or what we can even consider possible. It offers the possibility of the impossible." And here's why I say that. I want you to close your eyes now. Please do that. Try to capture, to comprehend, to explain or understand the most profound, meaningful, and life-changing experiences and or events that you've had in your life. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Think about those times. They come to us, and we respond to them, and we are changed by them. They are more than we can contain, more than we can carry, more than we can possibly hope to hold. They are unbearable. Maybe that's what Jesus is getting at when he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Maybe there is something unbearable about God. When have you experienced the unbearable in your life? What happened? How did it come about? And in what ways are you experiencing the unbearable today? Now, some of us have experienced the unbearable in the death of a loved one. Some of us have experienced the unbearable in a problematic diagnosis. We've experienced it in divorces, in the guilt and the regrets, or other circumstances in which our hearts were broken and our lives were shattered. Words cannot begin to describe what we feel, explain what is happening, or even to offer us consolation in those dark and troublesome times. It's more than we can bear, and we don't know how or if we will get through it. When has that happened to you? For many of us today, we look at the life of the world and find our current situation seemingly unbearable. We know of wars, of bombings, of killings, of political protests. Financial markets, just like airplanes, are crashing. There are so many of our neighbors, who exist amongst us, who are hungry and homeless, and yet because fear seems so pervasive in our world right now, there are so many farms, construction sites, restaurants, and other essential places of work that don't have the people to work in them right now. Rather than contemplating the relationship between the three distinct persons combined in one holy and undivided Trinity, we choose to focus on how to disentangle ourselves from people that we just disagree with on whatever ideological subject that is most present. Rather than recognizing the good within people and encouraging our neighbors and leaders to be the best versions of themselves, we come up with all manner of ways to proclaim that our fellow human beings are demonic and evil. We raise our voices at one another rather than raising our voices in prayer. Rather than extending our hands as olive branches of peace, we extend the longest finger on our hand as a sign of hate. When has that happened to you? For others of us, the unbearable is experienced in the birth of a child or a grandchild, perhaps. A dream that is finally realized after years of waiting and working for it. A life of beauty and meaning beyond our imagination. Joy that makes us weep. Forgiveness that offers a fresh start. A marriage or friendship that just keeps getting better. A love that we never thought was possible. Words cannot begin to describe what we feel, explain what is happening, or even to offer enough gratitude. The unbearable is in those circumstances that leave us feeling like it's all just too much. It's too big. It's too hard. It's too beautiful. It's more than we can bear, and we never want it to end. I wonder when that has happened to you. I think for most of us, and I suspect this is the case, that it's a bit of all of those things that I just described, and probably more. We've experienced all the aspects of the unbearable. The unbearable in any aspect, in whatever way it comes, unhinges us. It pushes us to the edge of our lives. And it leaves us standing at the opening of what Jesus says, into all truth. This is not an opening into learning all the truth. It is an opening into experiencing, into doing all the truth. The unbearable calls, the unbearable invites, it solicits and asks us to do and feel and experience all of the truth. To do the truth of forgiveness, to do the truth of hospitality, to do the truth of justice, to do the truth of peace, of mercy, and compassion, to do the truth of faith, of hope, and love. And every time we respond to the call of the unbearable, every time we step into that opening, every time we do and experience all of the truth, we recognize the existence. We recognize and celebrate and honor the existence of God. We honor God's presence in our lives and also in the world. Now, friends, the unbearable is not really all that hard to spot. It's happening all the time. We say things like, no, this can't be. This is impossible. I cannot believe that this is happening. It's too much. I am overwhelmed. I cannot take it anymore. Or, this is too good to believe. Not in my wildest dreams. I never imagined or expected this. Or, I don't deserve this. I have no words. How can this be? Have you ever said or thought any of those things? I think you have. I think we probably all have. There are moments when the unbearable is breaking into our lives, shattering the horizon of our expectations, and guiding us into all of the truth. So, what is unbearable for you today? What is the truth that is calling and waiting to be done and experienced by you? And how will you recognize, how will you honor and celebrate the existence of God in your life and in the life of the world? Friends, be free of your need to understand and explain and hold God in whatever box that you create in your mind. Be free of that. Be free in your faith to allow God to heal, to perform miracles in your life and in the life of the world. Today we celebrate the mystery of the one and holy undivided Trinity, a heavenly community, a divine relationship that gives us the perfect example of how to be at once uniquely individual to ourselves and at the same time being vital members of a community with others. That's what God shows us in the Trinity. And this is the good news. The light in these bleak and troublesome times is God. The hope in the very depths of despair is God. The way when it feels like the world is crumbling down all around us is God. The good news in a world that seems completely bereft of good is that God is good, and God is love, and God is with us. God is here with us, making all things new. And I pray that today, on this Trinity Sunday, that we all make a choice to be a part of that. Amen.